T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Good morning. 121-86, the final last night. The Bucks beating on the Pistons in Game 1. Oh, what was it, about 4 months ago? 4 months ago, I think it might have been a game against the Pistons where I came on the air to talk to you, Chuck Freeman, and I said, I'm just bored. I'm ready for the playoffs. I think I'm ready for the second round.
Yeah, I am too. God, man. After about 2 minutes of that yesterday, but hey, better to be on the front end than on the back end. And if we were doing Detroit sports talk, we'd say, well, we're ready for the draft.
Maybe I do want to look at the Pistons at some point because I'm not sure what kind of team that is that's assembled.
Well, I mean,
I don't know where their future is. I don't know what they're trying to be.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have Blake Griffin. They tried to, you know, do a few things last night, hard fouls and intimidate the Bucks, and the Bucks would have none of that yesterday. And when you got Thon Maker guarding Giannis, you got one arm tied behind your back already.
Well, he picked up two fouls on Giannis in 74 seconds.
Yeah. And that was it. Giannis was going to toy with him all night long. But I think the main thing last night, you know, not only the Bucks winning, but they got, you know, their starters. Giannis only had to play limited minutes. Middleton, the rest of those guys. You know, when Pat Connaughton is leading you in minutes, that tells you that, you know, it was an easy night for the Bucks in the playoffs. Unlike some of the other teams in the conference, had rough opening weekends.
Yeah, really good weekend of NBA basketball. Not if you were one of the top seeds in the East, as the Magic go down, the Sixers go
Raptors
down.
Went down.
Yep, the Raptors went down, and then the Sixers went down. Yeah. Both of those happening on Saturday. Celtics do win yesterday, but the one we're focused on, at least for now, the Bucks, 121-86. 414-799-1250. Your thoughts on Game 1 and how the series will shake out. I don't know. I look at this game, and again, last week.
Well, the thing about the playoffs is these guys that have been playing 30 minutes are going to play 42.
That didn't happen. You just mentioned Pat Connaughton leading the team in minutes with 28. How much of this game do you think the outcome was because there was no Blake Griffin? Because I am willing to put money on this, that when we talk to Gary Wolfel tomorrow at 8:20, and I say, Gary, those Bucks look pretty good. I thought you wrote an article. The Pistons could give them problems. He'll go, you know who they were missing? Blake Griffin. I go, Gary, that doesn't matter. Blake Griffin's a good player. I'll say, Gary, this Bucks team is going to have no problem with Detroit, no matter who shows up for Detroit in the next few
okay,
games.
Okay, the Bucks won by 35 with Griffin not being there. 35 points. The Bucks probably only win by 34.
Oh, with Blake, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say they win by 34 only. How about that?
I think that's fair. I think that's.
I'll give him a point.
Okay,
I'll give him a point.
Blake Griffin,
34,
NBA All Star.
I think 34
is worth 1 point.
Yeah, I think 34. The Bucks, man, they would have beat anybody last night. I mean, with that type of energy, I mean, couldn't you just tell in the first couple of minutes the way the authority they came out and exerted their will? That man. You know, there was no denying they were ready to go last night. They were ready, man. Anyway, ain't nobody gonna get in front of that freight train last night the way they are playing.
And maybe some of the losses on Saturday by like Toronto and by Philly, maybe it, you know, just kind of refocused the Bucks that hey, don't take anything for granted. Just go out there, play your basketball. I don't know if that had any effect on them or not, or if they're just ready. I think the whole city last week, and we noted it on our Fear the Deer Friday, it's ready for this. It was ready to kind of get all into this. And, yes, the tailgate party was ruined a little bit by the weather yesterday, but Milwaukee showed up yesterday. It was a good crowd, and we're ready for a long playoff run, and the Bucks put an emphatic opening to that. 20-4 was the opening sort of run they went on. Again, a 35-point victory, and it was never, I mean, it was never closer than, like, 20-4 was the closest that it was.
Yeah. Maybe the opening tip-off was the closest.
Well, Detroit went up 2-0 on TV.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Because the Bucks went up 2-0.
Yes.
But TNT
screwed it up.
Put the score wrong. So yeah. That was really Detroit's best chance at a win, was TNT misidentifying the score throughout the game. 414-799-1250. Bucks go up 1-0 on a complete rout in game one of their first round series. Tim is in Fredonia, 799-1250. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Gentlemen, that game was over after warm-ups before the first buzzer went off. I mean, Jesus. I mean, it was just, you could just see, you know, it's my first playoff game ever, I think. I don't know if I went to any back in the 80s. But
oh, you went to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it was your first playoff game, a veteran like you?
Yeah, Chuck. I mean, I've been around. I just, you know.
Okay.
You know, I got season tickets.
You didn't go to Bucks Heat. You didn't go to Bucks Bulls. You didn't go to Bucks Pacers.
Bucks Celtics, you know, and Larry Bird back in the day.
I might have, Chuck. I'm just trying to, because he was an usher back in the day. He was an older guy, and a buddy of mine's dad knew him, and he used to get us free tickets. Back then, they tore them in half, Chuck. So what he'd do is he'd hand some to us that were torn in half, and he'd tear them again. We'd get in free. It was awesome.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was an awesome deal back in the day. But yeah, I mean, you could just see the intensity difference, and that Drummond foul happened, like, right in front of us. I didn't think it was a flagrant two. I think Don Makers was a flagrant one, and they gave him a common foul because he came across with that left, or the right hand after the left hand, and kind of drilled him, you know. But it's the playoffs. I didn't think it was a flagrant two. Was it a push? Was it dumb? Absolutely just stupid. But flagrant two and eject the guy in the playoffs, you know, I have a little bit of an issue with that, but maybe you were thinking things are going to escalate. But it's going to happen again next game, but if the Bucks play like this and just move the ball, they moved it well yesterday. The rotations on defense were awesome on the threes. It just, if they keep that intensity, Chuck, and they shoot the ball half-assed, you guys, I don't think who's going to beat them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
gonna beat them?
You know, this is going to be hard to believe, but I expect Wednesday game two to be a little closer. Sometimes you see this, though, in the NBA. I think I told you this last week, Bart. You'll see a rout in one of the games, and then the second game, I'm not saying it's going to be a possession game, but it's going to be a little, I mean, it might be a single digit game. That's just, it just seems like that's the way it works.
I don't know. Not with this series. I mean, I get why you say that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I've seen in the past, but I mean, wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if it's another route.
Well, this may change your mind. I just saw this Yahoo Sports, Vincent Goodwill, Detroit Pistons star Blake Griffin will likely miss the entire first round series against the Bucks because of that knee injury. He's going to be listed as day to day, but a league source says it is unlikely he plays at all in this series.
Yeah, I, you know, if Griffin was in this game, if he was playing in the series, I'd still say the Bucks in five at least, possibly a sweep. But I mean, at least in five, I thought maybe the Pistons could get one at home, but I don't see any way the Bucks lose a game in this series, unless Detroit comes out in one of those games in Detroit.
Even still,
but who's going to lead you, Luke Kennard, to a victory?
I know that in the playoffs in the past there's been situations like that, but this series is done.
They didn't show the Bucks no playoff jitters whatsoever. In fact, they stepped it up. They stepped up their assertiveness in that game, and I mean, of all the games this weekend, they were definitely the most impressive. Not only by lopsided victory, but just the way they played and their fire out there. I'm telling you, I was not impressed with Philly. I just thought Philly, and you know, all that drama all weekend. Is Embiid going to play? Is he not going to play? I almost put this on social media. God, you know what? The Bucks made the right pick in drafting Jabari Parker and not Embiid.
Ooh.
How about that? And they got nothing out of Parker, basically. And he's not even here.
I workshopped that thought a little more before you put it out there.
You know what I'm saying? Embiid, what did he give you? And then he's looking at Amir Johnson's cell phone during the game. Not a good look, okay? Just not a good look.
Draymond Green tweeted that that's okay. He said, you guys check your phone at work, don't you?
Oh, seriously, Draymond, you're so wrong on that. You don't think it's cool, do you?
To check your phone on the bench?
Yes.
No.
No. We're not talking about playing kickball or softball here and checking your phone. But, you know, we're talking about an NBA playoff game. Yeah, that's I don't care what the circumstances are. Don't be checking your phone during on the bench.
We shouldn't even be checking our phone during the show.
Well, you know what? You're right. We shouldn't. Nobody should be checking their phone at work. We all do it, but in a basketball game, on that level, no.
You know what? No. And I'm going to say it's okay. I'm going to say it's okay that Amir Johnson looked at his phone as an outlet to get us to stop looking at our phones during the show. So that's what I'm going to do.
So you're saying he set the example in the wrong way. That maybe we shouldn't be checking our phones.
I'm saying you and I, yeah, specifically can't be all high and mighty on Amir Johnson checking his phone because we literally look like we stare at our phones the entire time.
Well, here's the deal. Like, you and I will get like messages from our boss or whatever on the phone.
Yeah, but we can keep it down during the segments and then look at a break.
Yeah.
We look the entire time.
I just don't think that's I just don't think it's a good look for an NBA player during a course of a game, to be doing that. It just...
Last week when we had Eric Name on, I was like texting with my wife about our grocery list for the weekend the entire time. So we got to do a little better about that, yeah, I would think. 799-1250, Artie is in Cudahy. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Artie.
Good morning, guys. I get my friends give me a lot of crap. They say my takes are too vanilla, so I'm going to try to be a little more aggressive.
On the radio?
Really?
On our show?
I'm too vanilla. That's what they tell me.
Do they have any balls to call in and put their takes out there?
No, I don't think so. But
screw them.
Okay, give us something hard-hitting right off the bat, then.
Yeah, shake up the world.
Because I think your calls are pretty good, Artie.
Yeah.
This is chocolate ice cream for me. It's not vanilla, so here you go. I laugh time and time again. Like, Greg Anthony was a pretty good play-by-play guy, or color commentary guy.
Yeah.
But he was, like, shocked with how good the Bucks were. Pretty much, like, it's like he'd never seen him before. He'd never, like, read about him or watched him. He knew the players, but he knew of them. And he just couldn't believe how deep they were and how good of a coach we had. And even he's talking about the arena. You know, and what I just don't get is, like, I guess we're, like, the anti-team. Like, Thonmaker didn't want to play. And people thought he wasn't good enough to play, you know, and there's a lot of guys in the NBA that aren't good enough to be on this team, and at all for me comes back to Giannis. He's like the ultimate superhero good guy. Like, I just hope that he looks like he's on a mission. Like, he is not normal Giannis. He looks like he's ready to bring it in a different direction. I love this team. I love what we're doing. I hope that this kind of experience can last for years to come. So, thanks, guys.
All right, I'm happy with it if you are, Artie.
I'm strong, Artie.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah. You know, again, what the national media says about the Bucks, I complained about it, you know, several weeks ago, the old Rachel Nichols back and forth that we had. But, you know, since the Bucks aren't worried about it, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to – it's not that big of a deal in me anymore.
Well, there's nothing –
I'll never complain about it ever again.
I don't believe that.
I haven't. I haven't since then, and I'm not going to now.
That's true. You have done a good job.
I'm not going to not gonna complain about it anymore.
No. From a national standpoint, I mean, there's nothing sexy about the Bucks. Like, there's no dramatic storyline. The storyline is that they're good. That's boring to talk about when you have your 30-minute shows or your debate shows nationally. What's fun to talk about is dysfunction and trades and rumors and presidents of teams quitting and superstars not getting along with the young guys. That's the kind of stuff that's fun to talk about. The Bucks, all they've done this year has been good, and that's not going to... I mean, what can you say? You're not going to get Jalen Rose and Brian Windhorst and, you know, Kenny Smith. You're not going to get all these guys going back and forth about how good the Bucks are. Just that's not how it works.
Not so, the Bucks, yeah.
So now you're in the playoffs. They didn't even want to talk about the Bucks last night because they were too good. The game was too much of a rout. They were trying to tell deer jokes at halftime on TNT because there's just not much to say other than this team is amazing.
And it's a great position to be in. It's a great position to be in when your team in game one haven't not won a playoff series since 2001, goes out there and shows who's boss in their first game, in their playoff game. You know, I guess this is what it's like to be a Golden State Warrior fan, where your team can roll through the playoffs in the opening round or those Bulls teams, or you know, some of the great teams where your team just flat out just dominates in the opening round, and they're on their way.
It's Chuck and Winkler, 414-799-1250. We'll take more from you guys here coming up. I was pleased with Artie's call. We have no backlash on Artie's call yet. Heath tweets in, quit taking calls from Tim in Fredonia. That guy is boring AF. Tim. Tim getting called out this morning.
No, I only say that his phone was a little off again today.
Yeah, it's not. Tim's not boring. His phone is pure trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it still is. And Tim.
Or cell service, whatever it is.
You can. We'll have to do a giveaway where we like give out a phone and then make sure Tim wins or something.
Yeah, or at least
let's
maybe
talk to promotions.
Maybe we should give him a hard line.
Yeah, or maybe a hard line.
Guaranteed clear.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Does anybody ever call us from a hard line? I don't. Yeah, you know, I feel like every call we get, all right, because that's the world we live. I don't even have a hard line at my house. Everybody calls on the cell, but I feel like cell phone use, as I said before, the cell service, the lines are not very good these days. For whatever reason, it's going the wrong way.
799-1250, the Bucks destroy the Pistons. The series already over. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bucks win last night. More on that in 2 minutes. Brewers did take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. They did lose yesterday. We'll get into it. Another struggle for Corbin Burns, the first save ever for Junior Guerra. And it looks like Jeremy Jeffress back in Milwaukee, either to be activated today or tomorrow. Adam McKelvey will join us at 8 o'clock. So the latest on the Brewers at 8 o'clock this morning, as most Mondays around 8, is when we talk to our baseball insider, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Brewers kind of, you know, this West Coast trip, late games, and then everything else that went on this weekend with the NBA and the Masters, which we will certainly talk about today. Brewers kind of taking a back seat to everything almost.
Well, I'm kind of glad they were on late night because the Masters were on yesterday, and then the Masters were on early, obviously, because
which was awesome.
I did too. It was like the British Open, because the British Open always ends like around 1 o'clock, and it starts early in the morning on a Sunday. Yeah, it was cool getting up and boom, turning it on and
so
live
great.
Drama.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'd be all for the golf tournaments, the majors starting that early. And ending around, you know, 1 o'clock or noon or whatever it was. But, I mean, it cleared the day for, like, it was a day of watching TV.
Brewers yesterday, if you watched them, that game was over pretty quick. Not a good day for Jalicia Seenigan. We'll talk more on the Brewers throughout the show, but specifically at 8 o'clock with Adam McKelvey. You guys want to talk Bucks? That's where we'll stay. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250 is the Bucks do beat the Pistons. 121-86, a report on Yahoo Sports over the morning, says it is unlikely Blake Griffin will return at all in the series. And I don't even think that, you know, with Blake Griffin, this Pistons team just had nothing for the Bucks yesterday. And, you know, Thon Maker, if you're going to put Thon Maker on Giannis to start the game, it was pretty clear pretty early this game was over. 799-1250, let's get out to John in Franklin. Johnny boy, what's up?
Hi, John.
Yeah, boy, what an amazing Sunday. An embarrassing amount of TV viewing this weekend. You know, I don't golf, but I will watch it at times. And you just couldn't tear yourself away from watching the Masters yesterday. Historic day. It's too bad the Brewers couldn't top it off with a sweet sweep of the Dodgers. But the afternoon and evening belong to the Milwaukee Bucks from the tip. This thing was just a drubbing. We discussed this Friday. I said Detroit was roadkill. Blake Griffin doesn't need to play because he's not going to make a difference. This thing is set up so well for the Bucks. We talked about one of the other seeds in the East possibly going down. This thing is just set up so beautifully. I hope we get the Celtics, and I want to just drill that team in Mr. Unhappiness. That will be just sweet redemption for me. But this all shapes up for Wednesday. We need to go in there at 0-0. This game is in the books. It's over with. We don't get 2 wins for this, no matter how bad we drubbed them. So we go in there Wednesday 0-0, and we start all over again. Take this team to the woodshed, get the starters on the bench for the fourth quarter, and let's just move forward.
Yeah, and win the playoff series in 4. So you get some more rest, and there's no drama in the series, and you get ready for, which I think will be the Pistons, and then it's game on again. Yeah, the Pistons, you look at them, they're not a playoff team. I mean, that's if that's the best, that I guess that's how we looked all those years. I say we. when the Bucks were the eighth seed to the Miami Heat in those years, this is
Bucks and six,
yeah, those years right there. Now it's Bucks and four.
You know, watching yesterday's game and then just looking at the last 2 years, you know, that Celtics series was intense. The Raptors series was pretty intense. This series is going to be nothing like that. And it's, you know, it's a lot different for me now to watch a series where they're starting at home. I mean, they are starting the series at home. You're not going on the road for the first two games. You're starting the series at home. You're able to put that stamp on the series right away. And really, unless the Bucks ownership, like, infiltrates the team and says, guys, can you lose one of these games? Because we want another game at Fiserv because we lost all that good money for the tailgate party because of the snow. I mean, there's no way they should lose a game in this series. There's absolutely no way.
No.
Not with the way Detroit looks. And if you're Detroit, you know, they're going home for a couple days and then coming back here on Wednesday. Why, though? Why even come back? How are they going to get up for game two in this series? Okay, maybe you get a little juice because you're at home for a playoff game, and you know. But even then, the crowd—I mean, they're not going to think there's a chance. This series is dead in the water.
Yeah. They would. My only concern is, and this is for the Bucks' health, if they would really try to ugly up the game and, you know, some hard fouls and that sort of thing.
Well, they started a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad they called the flagrant too, because maybe, you know, the officials there are trying to prevent the game from going to another level yet. And that's the only thing you don't want. You don't want the Pistons to come in here and think the only way, which probably is to hurt somebody. It looked like Drummond tried to, you know, he tried to send a message to Giannis because he couldn't defend him. So let's try to take these guys down and hurt them.
Well, and even Thon had a play that was a little questionable.
Yeah, but I thought Drummond's was a little worse.
Well, Drummond's was a two-hand shove.
Yeah,
was in the sky.
Drummond knows better.
Yeah.
Thonmaker, he's still, what is this, his third year? You know, his first, he's played in the playoffs before, but still. Drummond's played major minutes in games forever, and he knows. He knows what he did.
Dave is in Bayview, 799-1250. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hey. When I was watching the game, I was like, this is like the Bucks playing like the Bucks G League team. Like, Thonmaker, Ish Smith, Pachulia, and John Lear. And then they're like, hey, Big Dog, does your kid want to play?
Yeah. Glenn Robinson, three, yeah.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, half their team was like former Bucks. Yeah. So it was like kind of like, oh, there's an old practice at the Cousins Center or something like that.
Yeah. And the Pistons are going to look at this when the series is over, and they're going to say, well, we use this as playoff experience because next year we'll take that next step, like we've heard from the Bucks all those years.
No, I think they're going to get dirty, like you said. They're going to muddy it up.
Yeah. There's their only chance. They can't go toe-to-toe with the Bucks.
No, Dave, thanks for the call. It's a good observation there. Well, and then even Chris Middleton. I mean, he came over from Detroit. So there's a lot of connections between the two teams. I hope it doesn't get dirty. I hope the Pistons just kind of say, all right, we lost. Yeah. I mean, you could either muddy it up to still try to win the series, or you could just say, you know, we worked our butt off for 82 games. This is the best team we have. If we're going to do anything in this season, let's just take out another team and let's start throwing cheap elbows and cheap shots. And you would hope that the bad boys of Detroit don't, you know, return for this four-game series.
And the Pistons used to do some of that when they were growing. I mean, they did it when they were on top, too, but especially when they were trying to ascend there in the 80s. God, they were doing a lot of that sort of thing. And they played the Bucks in a playoff series when Isaiah Thomas and Lambeer were on their way up, and the Bucks won that playoff series. Pistons would later get them. But, Pistons would have that reputation.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. All right, maybe we don't completely write off the Pistons, okay? Let's just play hypothetical. We'll take a look at what we're dealing with the next three games, because this series, it's not technically over. I mean, it's over. The game was over.
Yep, It's on to the next round.
This is we're done.
Yeah. I mean,
hell, but you haven't won a first round. They won. They won the first round. First time since 2001. The series is over. Get to the Perkins for the first time since the last time you've been there. They've got the $9.99 burger combo served with fries and a slice of pie, so you can get a bunch of different big, thick burgers piled high, stacked with everything, and then fries, and then a slice of pie, all for just $9.99. So you can get the SoCal Turkey Burger stacked high. You can get the A1 Tangler Burger stacked high. How about the Breakfast Burger? Where you get a burger and then you get like breakfast on top of it, from the cheese, the hash brown, the egg, the bacon, all right on there. Burger and then fries and then a slice of pie. You get that at $9.99 at Perkins. This series is over. Or is it? Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Sports Flash, right.
Third quarter. It has been incredible. Here he comes again. Goodness. And a great basketball god raining down.
Oh, that sounds good. NBA on TNT. I like the way he said that there. Giannis just 23 minutes last night. That's all they needed. Maybe even played too much, honestly. 24 points for the Greek Freak. 17 boards, a handful of assists, and a steal. Giannis leading the way with 24 points. Pat Connaughton leading the way with 28 minutes. We talked a lot, too, about what will the playoff rotation look like, and it's hard to gauge after this one because if you weren't hurt, you played last night pretty much, with how deep the Bucks bench can go, and then with the game situation. I mean, even Tim Frazier got 12 minutes. If Tim Frazier's getting 12 minutes, either it's a bad, bad thing or a very, very good thing. Last night, very, very good thing.
Yeah, Mirotić played. Missed all five of his three-point shots.
Yeah, his first little run 15. Seemed maybe still a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
I'm cutting him a major slack, though, because he's coming off the hand injury, the finger injury. So, I'm hoping he's going to work his way back in, into the rotation and contribute big time yet. But got to get him going.
George Hill was big off the bench, 16 points. He's actually the second leading scorer yesterday. So all the way around, a good night for the Milwaukee Bucks, 121 to 186. We say it's over. Ram on the north side, are you saying not so fast, bud?
Ram.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Ram, you hesitant to call it a series, call it a day?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching playoff basketball since 73. I've seen a lot, so I'm not. You got to win four games. You got to win the two at your home, then you got to go on the road and win.
Okay, but you saw last night, though.
Yeah, I mean
it's over.
I remember a series when the Celtics played the Lakers, and the Celtics blew the Lakers out by 38. And then they came back, and the Lakers ended up winning the series, and the Lakers ended up winning by two, then they ended up going. They won three of the next four games.
So. Well, that would have been an NBA Finals. This is a 1-8.
Yeah. No, the Bucks have, I think we're just talking about, Ram, there's been times in the Bucks in the first round in our history. I remember the Atlanta Hawks coming in here and the Bucks winning two handily played games at the old Mecca. And they go to Atlanta and they struggle. They couldn't get out of their own way. And then finally won game five here.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we have a coach that got players experience, but we don't have players. And what I'm saying, each game is a different game. It's going to be a different strategy. They're going to change some things up. But like I said, we got to get out the first round. You got to win. You got to win four games, whether it's, four sweep or five, quarter five or something like that. So we got to play each game, each quarter. So like,
are you just trying not to get your hopes up, or do you really think the Pistons can win the series?
No, I didn't say the Pistons could win it, but they could make it. They could make it interesting.
They could win a game. They could win a game. They could.
They could win a game.
Now the Pistons. Yeah, the Pistons could win at home. However, the Pistons. Yeah, the Pistons. I mean, we've seen it in our past.
Yeah, Ram. What?
Now look, we've seen the Bucks lose to Orlando at five serve. I've seen the Bucks lose.
Yeah, Giannis didn't play.
How about lose? They've lost twice to Phoenix during the regular season.
They lost twice to Phoenix. Giannis played no game. So what I'm saying is, it's a mindset. You gotta have a killer mindset in the playoffs.
Hey, we've seen great teams lose a game in a first round playoff series, a game, but the Bucks aren't losing two games. This isn't going six.
Sure, the Pistons could win one game. Act of God.
Yes, they're because I've seen it
happen.
But
if they do, I will claim conspiracy.
Well, but I mean,
I will claim that the Bucks sandbagged it. to get another home game.
Well, the Bulls, even though, on those great teams, I think that once in a while they would lose a road game, whether playing the Knicks or a series they'd heavily be favored in. But still, I mean, this is not going. If it goes five, it ain't going. It's not going beyond. It's not going beyond five.
You watched the game yesterday, and sure, we're focused on the Bucks, but obviously there's two teams out there. So once Luke Kennard started hitting shots, he led the way with 21 for them. I was starting to think, like, what is this team? What does Detroit want to be? Who are they building around? First thing when you think of Detroit is Drummond and Griffin, right? Mm. So that's where all their money's tied up. And then they've got a ton of bad contracts. Langston Galloway's making 7. Reggie Jackson's making 17, and he's on the hook for another 18 next year.
They've tried to trade him, too, in the past.
John Lure's making 10, and then another 10 next year. I mean, Thon Maker, who I was ecstatic when the Bucks drafted him, and I always wanted him to kind of develop. And I like that they drafted him because even if he didn't work out, it was another sort of risk kind of guy. And if he did work out, I thought that the risk was worth the rewards. I thought that there was so much potential there. But he has not lived up anywhere close to that, just completely getting bodied by Giannis. I don't even know how long this guy's going to last in the league. I mean, if he's going to get pushed around like that.
Oh, Thon?
Thon, yeah.
Yeah. Wasted first-round pick.
So I wonder if you're a Pistons fan, you know, it's a little discouraging if you lose this series. And like the Bucks last year, it's discouraging that they lost to the Celtics. But then you think, all right, well, next year this. I don't know what the future looks like for Detroit. Well, I don't know where, if you're a fan of the Pistons, you get like excited about the future.
Well, they feel like they got a pretty good coach. You know, Dwayne Casey was coach of the year last year at Toronto, and then they fired him after the playoff loss. So they feel that they're a growing team, just much like those Bucks teams that we had here. That the Pistons got a future. It's going to take some time. They want to get these guys some playoff experience.
But how many of these guys on their team are part of their future?
Yeah, Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard.
Yeah, but he's just only a piece.
But he's the only guard that I think Bruce Brown.
They're not a good team right now. And you know what, Casey? If things don't go well in the next year or two, he'll lose his job with the Pistons too. You know, it's a classic case of, you know, it doesn't matter who the coach is. If you don't have enough talent, you're not going to win any games. You're not going to go far in the playoffs. And I think that's going to happen to Dwayne Casey in Detroit. If he doesn't get the thing on the tracks, he'll lose his gig too.
Well, we'll see about the Pistons. I mean, it has looked like it's been over for some other people before in the past, only for them to come back and relive glory. It happened on the golf course at Augusta. We'll talk about that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. And a little later, Bucks Nation has found a new enemy. One of the all-time greats coming back. People not happy about it. All coming up right here, Chuck and Winkler.
For years, many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. And that's Tiger Woods winning the Masters for the fifth time in his career. The 15th major for Tiger Woods at the age of 43. A sight that a lot of people, as you heard there, never thought would happen again. And it did. Very, really surreal to see Tiger Woods do it again. I was hoping... You would think that the Masters could be the spot that he could do it with how familiar he is with the course. It's the major that is always played at the same course every year. And, Chuck, it was simply awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, like last year, the PGA Championship, he was in the running for that. The British Open, he was in the running for that. He won the Tour Championship at the end of the season. And you're thinking, okay. I mean, he's right there in some of these. And like I mentioned, he won the Tour. So... can he win the Masters? But the longer he hung around, man, and on that back nine, while some of these other guys were shanking shots, like Finau and
Molinari
was doing it, and you know he had one wayward shot that he scrambled out of. But still, I mean, Tiger at the end, and then when he hit that 8-iron to within a couple of feet of the hole, it was like, man, this is Tiger's day. this is Tiger's day. But, you know, as far as counting him out, Tiger, you know, the reports were that he counted himself out at the Masters dinner a couple of years ago when he needed a shot to just to take the flight to go because his back was so sore. I mean, the guy had, you know, he's got fused vertebrae back there and still golfing. And, I mean, it's such a process. I was reading yesterday. It's such a process for that guy to play golf each day that he, you know, he's up at 3:45 in the morning yesterday just getting his back all stretched out. He's going through such a lengthy process just to be just able to swing a golf club. That's how it is every day for him going out there and playing.
Yeah, it's not just like he was good and then bad and now he's good again. He had a ton of surgeries on his back.
Yeah.
He's had a reconstructive surgery. He won, here's a little note from Bleacher Report. 2008, he won the U.S. Open. That was on a torn ACL. Then over the next 11 years, there was a neck injury. There was a sprained MCL. There was two Achilles injuries. There was a back surgery in 2014, 15, and 17, and then again in 2019, for the first time since he won that U.S. Open in 08, he won the Masters, his first major since then in 2019.
Throw a DUI into there and the whole mess that happened Thanksgiving
sure,
weekend
yeah,
2010.
Let's throw all the personal stuff in there, too.
All
which
that.
Is, I think, a reason that some people, you know, want to hate him. I am very pro Tiger Woods. I just think that Tiger Woods is so good for the game. And I enjoy rooting for the comeback story, but I've always enjoyed rooting for Tiger Woods. I think the faction of people that root against him, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Are you trying too hard?
Yeah, I think...
I didn't watch Game of Thrones last night, which the whole world did, but when I go out and tweet something about Game of Thrones, I'm trying too hard, okay? If you're tweeting, hey, Game of Thrones sounds dumb, you're looking for attention. And that's how I feel with people that are anti-Tiger Woods. If you're anti-Tiger Woods... You're looking for attention.
Well, I think with golf, there was a while back in the 2000s, people took sides. You were either a Phil fan, Phil Mickelson fan, or you're a Tiger fan.
Well, okay? That's fine.
I think that's what it was. Just like in the 70s, it was you were either a Jack Nicklaus fan or an Arnold Palmer fan. Now, I've always liked Tiger, but I've never rooted harder for Tiger in the last couple of years because I like comeback stories too. You know, the going through what he did and, of course, what he did off the field. And the pain that he brought his ex-wife and several people and his whole family along the way. Of course, yeah. But still, what that guy went through and the comeback story, you know, at the age of 43 to win golf's biggest event, man. To me, that's one of the best comeback stories ever.
The whole Tiger thing, I think that there's, you know, if you're my age, if you're your age, if you were old enough to watch Tiger when he was coming onto the golf ranks and having his success, and now you can watch this, him at the age of 43, and you can see him do it against an entire generation of golfers that he inspired. I think that's really neat. What is also neat, I want to read you this text that I got from one of my buddies. He's got a son. I'm a bad friend. I think his son's like 10. He texted me, he said, I know people our age are going nuts about this Tiger thing, but listen to this. We sent our son up to shower about 6:30 last night. The kid comes downstairs at night wearing black pants and a red Nike shirt. I said to him, you totally did that on purpose. He's like, I know, Daddy. He loves this as much as I did. Golf is coming back on the shoulders of a 43-year-old dude.
Yeah, I mean... Golf rose there for a while because of Tiger. It did. It drew interest in schools, among kids and all that. And I think today, I mean, that's great for the game. You know, the Nike website last night was down because people were on the website trying to buy his red mock turtleneck.
Oh, I know. I love it. A little TW on the back.
Yes, yes. You know, Bart, there was a time when, you know, you'd go to Golf Galaxy or to go to a golf store or anywhere like that. And you'd walk in, and you'd go to the apparel spot, or you'd go to the club spot. It would be all, I mean, Tiger Woods, his mannequins would be everywhere. The TW stuff would be all about Tiger Woods. You go today, and you don't see any of that. I mean, not today, but prior to today. Now, today, it might be all back. They might have gotten all that stuff out of the mothballs. But you'd go, and Nike wasn't marketing Tiger anymore. you know, they're not making equipment anymore, but they're still doing their apparel. But he still was, you couldn't see, there was no Tiger mannequins or anywhere you'd find a Golf Galaxy. Nothing of his. No TW stuff, none of that stuff. But I'm sure it's now it's making a comeback after this past weekend.
I'm pretty jacked. I've been cleaning up my basement pretty much the entire time I've been doing the show with you. And I kept a lot of Sports Illustrateds from the 90s and 2000s. I've got every Tiger Woods Masters cover. And so I'm excited to hopefully get another one this week.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put them all together and frame it.
You know, the one thing about I collect SIs too, is like when it's got our address on there.
Yeah.
It just takes some of the value away from it.
Yeah, I know. I did buy the Giannis one last week, though.
Off the newsstand.
Yeah, I did.
See, now that's good.
Yeah, I bought that one, and I'll go out and buy this Tiger one.
Yeah, I would, because I'd get Sports Illustrated in my teens, my 20s, and if somebody from our state was on the cover, like Moncrief or the World Series, I'd go to the store and pay the 75 cents it was at the time. What is SI now on the newsstand?
$7.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
For one copy?
$6-$7.
That's amazing, because it's like $20 for the entire year.
I bought the Giannis one, and I didn't even read the article. Or I didn't even open the magazine. I just put it downstairs with my stack.
Yeah, that's the way I am, too. Because you can read it online if you want to read it.
I didn't even open it.
No.
So I don't even know what the article looks like.
Yeah. No. Have you read the article online?
No.
Oh, it's a good article.
I didn't read
that either. It's a real good article.
I just bought the magazine.
It's a good piece. That was out too. That was probably when you were in Arizona that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was still at Sendix on whatever street that is.
I mean,
last
like
week.
If you go, I mean, do newsstands even exist anymore?
Like a real newsstand?
You know, like that. There was that bookstore in downtown Fond du Lac. That's not there anymore. You know, every town had their own newsstand. There was one in West Dallas here.
Like a newsstand in New York, like you see in the movies?
Yeah, well, a bookstore. A regular old bookstore that had magazines and all that. You'd go there and you could buy
Barnes
any magazine.
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, okay. That's one. Yeah, they're around yet. But I'm saying even like the mom-and-pop places.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, so we celebrate that legend, yet we trash a Bucks one? Why, everybody hates Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.